16 starts the course Asher Asa Tzar Bifinim. As was mentioned by Great Jaber earlier, a lot of the keynotes discuss the actual destruction of the temple, the Beit HaMikdash. This one is a little bit different. It has that as a start, but the last three paragraphs, for some reason, take a whole different route. They discuss 400 children who were carted away, were on a ship, that realizing their destiny, they jumped out, instantly killing themselves. Completely separate discussions that you'd imagine would deserve their own focus. You focus on the Beit HaMikdash, you focus on the personal tragedies. How come the Kina is mixing and matching over here? So I'll give it maybe two possible options at the very end. I just want to highlight a few different parts. So as we're saying it ourselves, we can appreciate what we're trying to be focusing on. In the fifth paragraph, as the great job we started with in the very first keynote we read today, there was a surprise. It says in the keynote, "Orinu namak hishkim misharis v'lomatzat tishim v'shlosha klei sharis." The destruction of the Beit HaMikdash had alongside it many of the kalim that were taken away from our possession. Their famous stories of the certain arches that you can see as the Romans, with great excitement, took away our menorah and other kalim. When the Kohen Gadol got up to do his avoda that morning, he was shocked there was no kalim left. The cupboards were bare. What Great Jar mentioned, it's surprising they wouldn't have seen that coming. Everything up till now, the predictions, the prophecies, and yet to kind of be so startled, to wake up in the morning expecting your daily routine and finding all your cupboards bare, the Beit HaMikdash, the kalim all taken away, that shock is something to focus on. Two paragraphs later, we find, describes the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he describes himself really, Atzos Ritzono Vu Asur Ba'azikim. Kadosh Baruch Hu can stop anyone anytime he wants to. Yet we know in the end of the day, as we go through the keynotes, that Hashem allowed these tragedies to take place. And the description, the way it's described by Mekalir in this Kina, is he changed himself. He chained. He had to lock himself up because he would imagine he would want so much to protect. So Rabbi Kamenetsky, Rashi pointed out a few minutes ago, if someone's in pain, you want to do everything you can, especially a child, to reach out, to protect, to grab, to save. Hashem sits, quote-unquote, idly by, but he's not. He had to chain himself up, so to speak, so he wouldn't be able to even come and protect us. That's the amount Hashem is in pain watching this take place, but at the same time realizing this is a necessary action based upon our behaviors. Just two paragraphs later, Soloveitchik points out that Titus has four generals. Al Pesach HaRabayis Hechel Avo, they began to go to the Harabayis itself. This was not a religious war. It was a war for land, for power. At the very end of the war, when it was a done deal, it was over, we lost. Still, Titus creates four generals to destroy every angle that he can get to of the Beit HaMikdash. Because at the end of the day, this wasn't a war only of land, as we would have thought it would be. This is a war of what we represent in the world. We're people who believe in morality. People who believe in there being a higher power, in monotheism. And though the war, as far as the land, was lost, our armies weren't going to win. But there was no reason to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. There wouldn't have been. Other than the fact that we represented something that they didn't want any part of. Therefore, he put all of his efforts, four generals, he put in charge of this final push. And amazingly, one wall didn't fall. We're going to go later on today. That's been an intellect call in the past, understand the gravity and the seriousness of this, the last moment of Tisha B'Av and our role in that, in the Old City by the Kotel. That's the final wall. Kadosh Baruch Hu, even in this last moment, would not allow that last wall to fall. As we're going to sit and sing together later on, in front of that wall, though that wall really represents really destruction, It also represents a protection. But the very end of the keynote, the last few paragraphs I mentioned earlier, it's a different story altogether. It's not about our walls. It's not about a building. It's about lives. For 100 young children. Why does the keynote end that way? Again, it certainly deserves focus. Perhaps a separate keynote, we have other keynotes describing people's loss. But why do we mix and match? I'll give you two different answers, really opposite from each other. You can take which one you want as you say the keynote together. One answer is we have Maseches Kiddushin. It brings down, it says, Mizmor La'asaf. We have a Mizmor that describes the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The word Mizmor, a zemer, means a song. It's the wrong word choice. A song about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, no, it's actually a good word choice. The Rashi quotes as the Gemara doesn't say. The Rashi discusses over here that what happened was that the bricks, stones, were destroyed, but our lives were saved. And therefore, we can take some solace in the fact that though we lost the most unbelievable thing we have uniting us as a people, we kept our lives still. Hashem's wrath was taken out on a building. However, in the time of Tisha B'Av, we're not looking necessarily so much for some comfort. Though there are, of course, keynotes that do end in words of comfort. We're looking to be realizing our loss. So we want you to realize not only was there a destruction of a temple, but that's not a mizmor today. There's no mizmor la'asaf. We also lost people. We also lost lives. 400, you imagine people just like you, similar age bracket, carted off, shipped off, realizing their destiny, jumped off to end their own lives. It's not the only time we've had such stories, the Holocaust, taking cyanide pills. This is a theme that exists, unfortunately, in our history. So while we do know there are times when we can't be comforted, that it was only stones in a building, the keynote wants you to realize that's not the whole story. We lost tremendous, tremendous lives. Possibly number one. Possibly number two is really the opposite. As I mentioned, there are a lot of unfortunate repeating stories in history, in Jewish history, and among them are our young people being taken, captured, kidnapped, whatever word you want to use. There's a story I want to read to you, just a few paragraphs of. In 1974, a bunch of terrorists came in, and they took over a school. Nativ Meir school building, 115 hostages. At the end, the Israeli army came in and attacked, and there were 22 people who died. It was called the Maalot Massacre. But I want to read to you a letter that was found on a girl named Alana after she was one of those 22 who perished. Dear Abba and Ima, it is now 11 in the morning. I don't know how many more hours I have to live. That is why I'm writing you. I want to tell you how thankful I am for the chinuch you gave me. You raised me with the best, and I had a wonderful life. It's all because of you. I'm 15 and a half. If it was decreed upon me that I should die, then I die with honor and faith. Where did I get that from? I got it from you. You always told me without emunah, life becomes so much more difficult. It hurts so much more. Now, during these difficult moments, I believe more than ever. When it came to most things in life, I had no choice. I didn't pick when or where I was born. I did not choose my father and mother. But I was very fortunate. I grew up as a religious girl in Eretz Yisrael with special parents, with you. Right now it looks like I may not have a very long life. I have not had Shavuos Gedolos, long hours, but I thank you for my Shavuos Ketanos, my short hours. Ima, please don't cry too much when I die. I know things have not always been easy for you. And when I die, these will be even more difficult. But please remember, difficulty always brought with it great moments of simcha, joy and satisfaction. I want you to know that I am not crying right now. My eyes are dry. It doesn't hurt me that I'm going to die. I'm not in pain. And when I say Shema Yisrael at my last moment, I will think of you. Please give this letter to the entire family to read. Tell how much I love them. Tell my friends and my neighbors that they should be well. I'll not have a chance to tell them myself. Goodbye, Bava Rabba, your daughter, Alana. At times in life, you have minimal choices. Minimal. But that moment was her first choice maybe she ever made. Where she went to school, she didn't decide. Where she grew up, she did not decide. But she did decide that day how she would spend that last moment. She decided that. That's forever in her heart. The Kina ends with 400 young people who had very few decisions in their life up to that point in time. They decided at the end that they're going to end their life the way they're supposed to. So as we describe and discuss the terrible tragedies, we do not choose the moments that we were put into. That's not our choice, but our choice is how we react to them. Hashem kept one wall remaining for us to remember that He's not far from us. If we choose at any point in time how we want to connect to Him. When we go today and we dive in by that wall, realize the moment that we're in right now, maybe we didn't choose so much of it. Our parents sent us to Enzalai Kolel, to our schooling. But that moment in time, you choose how much you want to be part of this moment. You choose how much you want to be part of this kina or all kinos. It's a choice that we make and that will forever impact ourselves and our families. Zechoras asher asa asav. Soon we'll be in